a helicopter landing near Mosquito Lake raises questions, and Haines' state representative makes a post-session visit this week. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Neighbors are upset and officials are investigating after a helicopter landed in the front lawn of a Mosquito Lake residence on Monday evening. The landing took place about 6 p.m. next to Mosquito Lake Road and in front of Bruce Bauer's house, also called the Funny Farm. Bauer posted video and photos of the helicopter on the Funny Farm's Facebook page, and he was clearly elated by the event. That he said was a private helicopter not engaged in a commercial tour.
Completely within my rights to land a helicopter there if I want under those conditions.
But neighbors and even the helicopter's owner say the maneuver was not okay. The helicopter is owned by Last Frontier Air Ventures, based in Sutton, Alaska. Debbie King with the company says the helicopter was on contract with Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures this heli-skiing season. She identified the pilot as Seamus O'Damon of Washington. He is not a regular employee with the company, she said. O'Damon was contracted for the Haines ski season assignment because he has experience piloting with heli-skiing companies. But King and Seba say the helicopter and pilot were done with their assignment for the season, and the contract had ended by Sunday night. O'Damon was supposed to be flying the helicopter back to Sutton, but he stopped at Bauer's first to supposedly pick up some items he left while he stayed there during the ski season. King said Tuesday morning O'Damon had not yet returned to Sutton, but that the company had planned to tell him they were not pleased with his maneuver.
He acted completely of his own accord without Last Frontier permission outside of company policy. We are quite upset.
Scott Sundberg with SEBA also said the helicopter and pilot had been released from their contract with the heli-skiing company. And while Bauer wasn't upset with the landing on his property, Sundberg said it was not okay to land the helicopter in a constricted residential area like Mosquito Lake.
SEBA realized that people have a right to make a living, but they must take into consideration the rights of residents to enjoy a lifestyle that meet their ideals.
Alaska State Trooper Josh Bent said he received 4 complaints about the landing and came to Haines from Juneau on Tuesday to investigate. He said it's not clear if the landing broke any laws. He said he is working with the Federal Aviation Administration to determine if the landing violated any FAA regulations. Bauer says actually he'd like to have helicopters land more regularly at Funny Farm during the heli-skiing season.
I'm going to do everything I can to get my guests to be able to land in a helicopter at my lodge here. I don't see any reason why not. They're here. They want to pay the money to do that. They should be allowed to do that.
SEBA is currently authorized by the borough to use 3 sites as heliports during the heli-ski season, the airport, 18 Mile, and 33 Mile. Sundberg said SEBA is not promoting the future use of the Funny Farm as a heliport.
However, we still strongly feel that a commercial heliport used by a heli-ski industry needs to be placed in an area that has no departure or arrival pass over residents, operates during normal business hours, and is surrounded by a majority of residents that support the activity.
Jim Stanford lives just up the road from Bauer. He heard the landing Monday night and said it was loud and disruptive. But he sees a bigger issue at play and explains it this way.
I think it's time for the heli-ski industry to sit down and start figuring out a way to police themselves. And the people that come into Haines to visit the community they're respectful of the community, they're respectful of neighborhoods, regardless of where they are, whether it's in town, out the road, anywhere, or else they're probably going to inflame this neutral group of people that they desperately need to survive in Haines.
Bauer and some of his neighbors were already at odds even before Monday's helicopter landing. Trooper Bent said he was aware of several noise complaints recently in the area because of fireworks and firearms shooting on Bauer's property. Bauer said he knows neighbors are complaining, but he says he's allowed to shoot off fireworks and shoot clay targets and tries to keep the noisy activity to certain hours. Bauer said the Funny Farm is done hosting heli-skiing clients and guides as the season winds down, although the lodge plans to remain open through the summer. Haines' state representative is coming for a visit this week. Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins will be in town starting Wednesday through Friday. He plans on meeting with seniors over lunch at the Haines Senior Center on Wednesday, followed by meeting constituents at the Haines Library from 3 to 6 p.m. On Thursday, he'll be at the Mountain Market from 7 to 9 a.m. and at the Haines Library again from 3 to 6 p.m. And Friday morning, he'll be at the Chilcat Bakery from 7 to 10 a.m. We'll also be talking with Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins while he's in town, and we'll bring you that interview on Thursday evening. Alexis Will, a graduate student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, calls herself a ninja of the night, but it has nothing to do with martial arts. Will is a biologist who studies the foraging behavior of the rhinoceros auklet, or rhino for short, a seabird which returns to land only once every 24 hours during Alaska's short summer nights. The rhino is thriving, and Will is determined to find out why. She spent 2 months last summer on a storm-battered mound of volcanic rock 10 miles out in Sitka Sound called St. Lazaria Island. Will captured and tagged rhinos to gather data on their movements at sea and collected feathers to analyze their physiology. She also captured sounds as thousands of nesting pairs of rhinos, murres, storm petrels, and other birds descended on St. Lazaria every evening.
So the way the night goes on the island, it starts off and the rhinos come in right at dusk. One of the recordings has gulls in the background, and so you're hearing these really obnoxious gulls that are really loud. The really low mooing is the rhinos as they start to come in, and I think there's a couple crashes that happen too. And there'll be this really short period of time where they'll be mooing in kind of these waves where they are really excited about getting back and either are just standing around mooing, or they'll also moo when they get into their burrow. They pretty quickly get drowned out by storm petrels, so that's the ones that go doo-doo-doo-doo and are squawking. And then usually about an hour before dawn, the rhinos start coming out of their burrows and socializing, and that's when they really start mooing. And that one is where you have the really, really, really loud mooing, and then there's a couple hootaloopoos tossed in there from the storm petrels. That's my favorite time of night, is when I can make it to right before dawn, because they get out, and then as the light starts coming back, the petrels die down, and then it's just this really, these waves of these moos that kind of sweep across the whole colony. All these seabirds, while they aren't adapted to terrestrial life at all, and some of them, murres are a really good example, they're, you know, on the cusp of being completely marine. You know, they incubate their eggs for like 30 days, raise a chick in about 2 weeks, and then they're back to the ocean. Rhinos have a lot longer time on land, but all that said, it's the most important part of their life cycle, right, because that's when they're passing on their genes to the next generation.
Alexis Will is a biologist pursuing her master's degree from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Her research on St. Lazaria Island near Sitka is funded by the North Pacific Research Board and the Institute of Arctic Biology. And an editorial note about a story we ran in our last newscast. The story is a delicate one. It's about criminal charges filed against someone in our community. These types of stories are always difficult for many reasons. They often deal with sensitive topics or allegations. They involve our neighbors. And in a small town especially, allegations of wrongdoing or being a victim of wrongdoing can carry unfortunate repercussions. News outlets treat stories differently. They make policies about what types of crimes or legal actions to cover and how far they go in revealing sensitive information. Most journalists agree the guiding force of how to approach a story like this should be to keep the public interest in mind, and most importantly, provide information that stems rumors, not flame them. With this particular story, some listeners think I revealed too much information about what was in public court documents. Other listeners think I didn't reveal enough to clearly identify the people involved. But I am sorry if the story was more confusing than informative. Different stories have different elements that make them rise to the level of a news story. As a news director, I stand by my judgment that the story we ran was important for several reasons. I believe it's also important to be responsible with the information that is available. Just because information and names are part of a public court document doesn't always make them appropriate for a news story. It's also important to remember that charges of wrongdoing are not confessions or indictments. Our legal system still relies on the presumption of innocence. Unfortunately, in a small town, an allegation or charge can be damning. It must also be equally recognized, if not more so, that speaking out about alleged wrongdoing as a victim is also difficult in a small town. Balancing public interest, privacy, and public information with ethical journalistic standards takes constant vigilance and awareness. I will continue to do my best at it and work to avoid missteps and mistakes. Please contact me if you have concerns or questions about issues, specific news stories, and how I do my job. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.